A Lion Called Christian by Anthony Bourke and John Rendell. Adapted by Jane Revell. Copyright Anthony Bourke and John Rendell, 1971-2010. Published by Scholastic Limited as part of the Scholastic English Language Teaching Readers Series. A Lion Called Christian. Prologue. In 2006, a Californian student posted a video on YouTube, the popular video sharing website. The video was taken from a very old film from 1971, and everyone who saw it on YouTube loved it. It touched people in different ways. Many of them sent it to their friends. Over the months, the video was watched and enjoyed by millions and millions of people all over the world. So why was this 3-minute video so extraordinary? In the video, we see two young men standing on a rock somewhere in the wild African countryside. The men have long hair and are in their 20s. They are waiting for someone or something. Then suddenly, a large male lion appears from behind a rock. The lion looks at them. It starts to run towards them. And then the most amazing thing happens. The lion jumps up on the two young men and hugs them, licking their faces. The men put their arms around the lion and hug it back, laughing. They are obviously very pleased to see the lion, and the lion is very pleased to see them. The lion was called Christian. The two young men were Australians, Anthony Ace Bourke and John Rendell. It may seem unbelievable, but the lion knew the two men very well. Although Christian hadn't seen John and Ace for a year, he still remembered who they were. He knew that they were his old friends. This is the story of that lion and how Ace and John came to own him. It's the story of how Christian lived with Ace and John in their small flat in London and of how they became friends and grew to love and trust one another. It's the story of how, when Christian got too big to look after, Ace and John had to find a new home for him. They didn't want to put him in a zoo or a circus. That would be like a prison for Christian. They wanted a home for him where he could be happy and free. So the story tells us how Christian was finally able to return to Kenya and live with other lions in the wild. Ace and John first wrote A Lion Called Christian in 1971, the year of their reunion with him in Africa. In 2009, they rewrote the book after the YouTube video had brought the story to the attention of a much wider audience. In the introduction to the 2009 book, the writers ask themselves why the YouTube video is so popular. Is it just because people are able to see an unusual reunion and share a very special experience? Or is there more to it than that? Is it because a wild animal seems to be showing its feelings? Is it about growing up and leaving home? Is it about losing someone and finding them again? Is it about the relationship we have with our own pets? Or perhaps it's because we miss being part of the natural world now that technology and computer games have taken us further away from it. Whatever the reason, one thing is true. The internet has completely changed how we communicate with each other. We can give and receive information, meet other people, download music and films, buy and sell things, play games. We can do almost anything. The internet has also made it possible for us to work for the things we believe in. We can join others who are fighting against climate change or helping to save animals in danger, for example. We can work together to face some of the big problems in the world that affect us all. Chapter 1. A Lion for Sale. In August 1969, four lion cubs were born in a small zoo in the southwest of England. There were three females and a male. Their father, Butch, came from Rotterdam Zoo in the Netherlands, and their mother, Mary, from a zoo in Jerusalem, Israel. In October, when the summer was over and the tourists had gone, the cubs were sold. Two of the females were bought by a circus. The other female and the male were bought by Harrods, a very famous department store in London. 3 months earlier, in May 1969, two young Australian men, Anthony Ace Bourke and John Rendell, had left Australia for the first time. They had finished university and had done a number of jobs. After travelling on their own around Europe in search of adventure, Ace and John met up again in London. They visited the usual tourist attractions, like the Tower of London, and then one day they went to Harrods. Harrods was a very special department store. The owners of Harrods used to proudly say that the store offered all things for all people everywhere. At that time, there was even a zoo in the shop. Ace and John wanted to see if they really could buy anything in Harrods. They went to the zoo on the second floor to see the animals for sale. And there, in a small cage between the cats and the dogs, they saw the two lion cubs. The female cub seemed bad-tempered and showed her teeth to shoppers who stopped to look at her. Her brother seemed quite easygoing. He didn't pay attention to anybody. Ace and John immediately fell in love with him. They sat down beside the cage and stayed there for hours. "I've already named him Christian," said Ace. Ace and John both laughed. It would be amusing to call a lion Christian. It reminded them of Roman history, when Christians were thrown to the lions. "Why don't we buy him?" asked John. They asked if the cub was still for sale. Yes, he was, they were told, at a price of £275. At that time, this was a lot of money. But the price didn't stop Ace and John. They really wanted to buy the lion cub. But first, the manager of the Harrods Zoo Department wanted to interview them. He wanted to make sure they would be good lion owners. So the next day, Ace and John got out their smart jackets. Luckily, their parents had made them take the jackets with them to Europe. Up to now, they had never been worn. Then they carefully combed their hair and went back to Harrods. Luckily, the interview went well, and the zoo manager liked them. But their problems were only just beginning. Ace and John shared a small flat above a furniture shop called Sophisticat in the King's Road in Chelsea. This part of Chelsea was called World's End. The name came from the 17th century, in the days of King Charles II, when this area was right at the end of the city. Now the area at the end of the King's Road was becoming very fashionable. Ace and John had to wait 3 weeks before they could take Christian home, so they only had a short time to find a larger flat. What they really needed was a big basement flat with a garden. They didn't want to tell flat owners that they had a lion, so they said they were looking for a flat for themselves and their dog. In the end, when they couldn't find a suitable flat, they put an advertisement in the Times newspaper. "Lion cub, two young men, needs suitable garden, roof, flat, house, London." However, the only calls they received were from newspapers who were interested in taking photos of the lion cub. Nobody called to offer them a flat to live in. In the end, the owners of Sophisticat agreed to let Christian live in the large basement under the shop. The basement had several rooms, so there was plenty of space for Christian to move around. Ace and John thought Sophisticat was a very suitable address for a lion, the biggest cat of all. But they still had to find a garden for Christian to exercise in. Finally, they were told that they could use a large church garden close to their flat. Now they were ready to receive Christian. But they still had one problem. Neither of them knew anything about lions. They had no idea how to look after a lion. Would they be able to do it? They went to Harrods as often as they could to play with the cubs for an hour after closing time. They wanted to get to know Christian and to let him get to know them. The cubs had extremely sharp teeth and claws. Ace and John hoped that Christian would play more quietly when he was away from his sister. They also went to visit some people who had bought a puma from Harrods the year before. The puma, called Margot, seemed quite relaxed, and Ace and John felt a bit more confident about looking after Christian. They knew, however, that Christian would only be able to live with them for about 6 months. After that, he would be too big for their basement. They had to think about possibilities for him when he was fully grown. They certainly didn't want to send him back to a zoo. They knew of a place in the south of England called Longleat Safari Park. Longleat was the first safari park to open outside Africa. Animals were not kept in cages. Instead, they were allowed to move around the large park. The lions at Longleat seemed to have a large amount of freedom. Ace and John went to visit Longleat and talked to the director. "Don't worry," said the director, "we'll take Christian when he gets too big for you to keep." So everything was arranged, even Christian's future. But Ace and John still had doubts. Christian was a powerful, wild animal. He could be very dangerous. Their parents were worried and told them to think about it very carefully. They said that Ace and John could become attached to Christian and they might find it difficult to give him up. A lot of people told them they were stupid or crazy. In the end, all these different opinions only made Ace and John's decision easier. They were young and they were looking for fun and adventure. It was the end of the 1960s and the beginning of the 1970s, a time of optimism and change. They would buy a lion and live with him in London. On the 15th of December 1969, there was a phone call from Harrods. The cubs had escaped during the night. They had done some damage in the store. Harrods wanted to get rid of Christian and his sister as soon as possible. "Right. We'll be there tomorrow," Ace and John said.